This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tremell Gomes.
However long the session goes, I'm going to continue to fight for jobs across the state, so I'll remember what I ran on in 2010. All three of those projects impact jobs. And I'm going to continue to fight after this session.
The budget battle is on in the Florida legislature, and Governor Rick Scott is so far losing out.
Unfortunately, we've gotten distracted from the injured worker on two of the four main purposes of the workers' compensation law.
Advocates for workers' comp reform say the state is better off following the Senate's plan over the House.
We got to work with this amazing, tasty, flavorful, it's sweet, it's tender.
And there is a new kind of fish that the state is hoping we will all eat up until there is no more.
A species that we need to help eradicate from our Florida waters.
Florida's official state chef makes a brief stop here on episode 104 of The Rotunda. The Florida Capitol is abuzz all weekend due to the budget conferencing and reporters fighting the same old fight for an open and transparent process. A process that was promised by House Speaker Richard Corcoran, but apparently was just a talking point. Here's Florida House Budget Chief Carlos Trujillo.
The public has been involved in the process. I think your assumption is the public hasn't. I've attended a lot of the committees in my own committee. You would have to ask the people who made those promises. At no point did I say we were going to have hearings as to all the conforming bills. I don't think I've ever said that. So whoever made those promises, you should ask them those questions.
On the Senate side is Appropriations Chair Jack Latvala.
How can people actually look at the language before comments?
I will endeavor on the substantive bills. We'll try real hard to have them. Most of the substantive bills are issues that have already been heard in substantive committees, either in the House or the Senate or both, and have had public testimony. So it's not anything new. I don't mean any surprises.
One thing that's apparent, and that's Governor Rick Scott will not get what he wants.
I am shocked that anybody would think that we should cut $1 of Visit Florida. We should be investing more dollars so we get more tourists, so we get more jobs.
Can't always get what you want. You can't always get
one. We need to spend $200 million to jumpstart fixing Lake Okeechobee Dyke. Number two, we need to invest $100 million to continue to market our state so we can continue to get more tourists here and get more jobs here. And number three, we've got to fully fund Enterprise Florida, including the Quick Action Closing Fund.
There was no new funding for the state jobs incentive program. Tourism and marketing was cut by $50 million. And the governor, who is now suddenly focused on the environment, will not see the $200 million he was calling for to speed up the repairs on the dike around Lake Okeechobee. But Scott has the option to veto the budget. And that action could also be overridden by the legislature.
And I'm going to continue to fight after this session. Whatever happens this session, I'll have about 610 days to go, and I'll be spending every day fighting for how we get more jobs in the state.
So things aren't looking so good for the jobs governor, who is hoping to secure another job in the U.S. Senate. We're still awaiting an official announcement on that possible run. This is The Rotunda, your podcast about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tremell Gomes. Visit rotundapodcast.com, follow us on social media at Rotunda Podcast, and dig deep by supporting this weekly production. Yes, you can send in your generous contribution of any amount by visiting rotundapodcast.com. And as always, thanks for your support. Speaking of heading to Washington, a new seat has suddenly opened up. The frenzy has already begun after Florida Congresswoman Ileana Ross-Leighton announced that she will not seek re-election in 2018, citing a personal decision based on personal consideration, Ross Layton, who was the first Hispanic woman to serve in the Florida House, the Senate, the first Cuban American to serve in the U.S. House, and the first woman to chair a regular standing committee in Washington. Along with many other accolades, Ross Layton told the Miami Herald of her plans to not seek another term.
But amidst this new battle in the culture wars, one Republican is breaking away from her party. Congresswoman Ileana Ross Layton is speaking out publicly in support of transgender rights, which directly affect her son.
This is about family acceptance. This is about talking to your child, about being accepted and loved. And the theme of our message that was done by a group of South Florida named SAVE, it's about family is everything. And we did it, Jake, in Spanish as well, to let people know, talk to your child, and whether your child is gay or lesbian or trans, I know that it's a shock at first, but with communication, that child has got to know that he or she is loved.
That's Ross Layton on CNN. As far as her replacement, the chances are looking good that a Democrat could win her seat. All in all, it will be a crowded field when that seat opens up in 2018. Workers' comp is an issue being closely watched by business, legal, and labor groups for obvious reasons. There is a lot of money at stake. Florida is considered one of the hardest states for workers seeking treatment or lost wages when injured on the job.
The insurance industry got involved to make sure the burden came off of them and put it onto the injured worker.
On top of what Mark Tobey calls unfair is how lawmakers are trying to make it more difficult for employees to sue when they have wrongly been denied workers' compensation. The state's workers' comp law is set to prevent lawsuits. In fact, that is the basic premise of the labor reforms nationwide stemming from the Roosevelt administration in the 1900s. If you're ever injured on the job, you file a claim and your employer provides medical care and lost wages. That's the ideal scenario. But the legal battle usually begins when the employer denies a claim.
It's about the access to courts.
Mark Tobey is president of Florida's Workers Advocates. He's here to discuss the competing House and Senate bills moving through the Florida legislature and why he thinks one of them is bad for the state.
What's the state of our workers' compensation law in Florida?
Well, right now the legislature is responding to some of the directives that have come from the Florida Supreme Court regarding the constitutionality of the previous law.
So last year, the Supreme Court struck down prior limits on attorneys' fees, where they could only earn a cap percentage of benefits. Since the ruling, the insurance premiums companies pay, according to the National Council on Compensation Insurance, shot up to 14.5%. Danny Burgess, the Republican representative from Zephyr Hills, who is pushing the House legislation, says companies are laying off employees to offset the increase. Again, Mark Tobey.
And so we have the House version and the Senate version at this point, which are very different, although they started off reasonably similar. The House bill, has sort of been taken off track by the insurance lobbyists, whereas the Senate bill has, you know, maintained true to the sponsor's intent, which is to provide the most constitutional product that can come out of this session.
So how has the House gone off track? What's in that legislation that you don't like?
Well, there are a number of things that are distinct differences. Certainly the way that the rate-making process is being handled is very different between the two bills, and the Senate bill has come up with a much more appropriate remedy for allowing there to be not only a constitutional analysis, but also provide more competitive rates for the employers of Florida. So that's critically important. The Senate bill also has a better and more constitutional approach to the attorney fee provision, because it requires that the carriers who wrongfully deny benefits make whole an injured worker when they have to secure an attorney, whereas the House bill, unfortunately, is trying to put that burden onto the injured worker, and certainly that is where the insurance industry got involved to make sure the burden came off of them and put it onto the injured worker, which would really deny access to the courts, deny these injured workers the ability to get what they need from the system that is required.
Even in the fee structure, it's the House is, what's the cap there? It's up to 150, and the Senate is 250 or 100? What's the difference?
Well, you've got the numbers right. The 150 is in the House and the 250 is in the Senate. But it's not really about the numbers. It's about the access to courts and the fact that the claimant or the injured worker would have to pay a portion or maybe the largest portion of his or her own fees for benefits that have been wrongfully denied by an insurance carrier is where the House bill fails to get the constitutional message. But the Senate bill keeps the entire burden of paying that amount on the carrier, the insurance company, that has wrongfully denied the benefits. So it really, the numbers are something that people are focused on because they're numbers, but really it's the scenario, it's the setup that is the constitutional question.
So the House bill leaves the burden on the injured worker. They have to, figure things out, or the possibility of figuring things out on their own.
And the best way to make this understandable is someone who is able to get medical attention, it's not a problem. But if you're denied medical attention and you have to fight for that medical attention, and you get the medical attention and then you have to pay your lawyer for getting the medical attention, you didn't get any money to pay that with. So now you're coming out of pocket. So this is putting it on the injured worker. So if that injured worker doesn't have any money, they're not getting that medical benefit. They're being denied the benefits that the law provides for them just because it's set up in such a way that it prevents them from ever getting in the door. That's the access to courts problem. They have no access to get to the courts. They have no access to hire an attorney because they don't have the funds. They don't have the means to do so. Whereas the Senate bill has done what the workers' compensation law has done since 1941, which is put that burden where it belongs, on an insurance company. They wrongfully deny a benefit, they provide the benefit, and they have to provide a payment for the attorney's fees or reimbursement to the claimant for the attorney's fees spent to secure that benefit, because that's the only way that an injured worker is going to get something as small as a doctor visit.
So the House bill is being presented as like a compromise, and then there's the Senate bill that you think is a whole lot better, that's more of a true compromise. We have two plans, the House and Senate plan. Should there be a compromise between the two, or just where do you stand?
Well, compromise is an interesting word. Should there be a compromise? There should be a constitutional law. If that's a result of discussion and you want to call it a compromise, so be it. But there should be a constitutional law where injured workers get the benefits they're entitled to. If they're denied those benefits, they have access to the courts to secure those benefits. And we have employers who are getting their employees back. And we have employers who understand that the rates that they are paying are fair and appropriate based upon the insurance that they are buying.
What are the other differences you're trying to point out between the House and Senate plans?
Not so much the differences, but I would say the similarity between the two bills is that, unfortunately, we've gotten distracted from the injured worker on two of the four main purposes of the workers' compensation law. So they've addressed attorney's fees, which is access to the courts. They've addressed the rate making, but they have left out this mid-tier benefit, which provides for workers who cannot return to their previous occupation because their injuries are severe enough that they can't do that job, but doesn't provide any benefit for them while they're getting the next job. It's not fair just to throw somebody out and say, okay, you have to start over at the beginning in a new career, and by the way, we're not going to give you any benefit to assist you. It used to be there in the law. They took it out. So that restoration has not occurred. The other thing is medical choice. Both bills have failed to include some element of medical choice for the claimant. The injured worker really needs to have a say in their medical situation. And to know that you are seeing a doctor that you can trust, that you selected, that was recommended by your friends or your own research, that is a tremendous asset to our system. And those two two things that really are part of what would make a constitutional law have unfortunately been neglected thus far. But we still have 2 weeks left, so hopefully we'll get there.
Mark Tobey, thank you so much for speaking to me here on The Rotunda.
Thank you so much.
So here's a special taste or treat that I found around the Capitol. As an environmental reporter, I've done many stories on Florida's invasive lionfish, but I've always missed opportunities to really see what it tastes like. But thankfully, Florida's international culinary ambassador, Chef Justin Timoneri, is helping me to check something off of my adventure list.
What did you make here? What's going on today?
Absolutely. So we're here to support Florida Wildlife Commission and their lionfish efforts. So we got to work with this amazing, tasty, flavorful, it's sweet, it's tender lionfish, a species that we need to help eradicate from our Florida waters. So we're trying to show everybody how wonderful of a fish this is to eat so that we can help support it. So we made a Florida lionfish nachos. We got some blue corn tortilla chips. We made a nice roasted Florida tomato salsa, a key lime sour cream sauce, a little crumbling Mexican cheese, and a little bit of lettuce. And it all came together beautifully, and it is yummy and tasty.
Of all my times covering the lionfish and going out and actually, like, you know, with fishermen and spearing them and catching them, this is my first time tasting it. And it tastes pretty clean, like, and smooth, and, like, you know, it doesn't stand out so much, other than the flavors that you added to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is very mild, and it has underlying some sweetness, but it really will take on whatever you serve it with as well. But, you know, I would compare it out there to maybe a snapper or maybe even grouper, but snapper because it's so tender and flaky.
No, it has a look to it with all the, I don't know, what do you call it, the tentacles?
Yeah, or? Maybe the spines.
The spines.
Yeah.
How was it handling and cooking?
So handling it is very easy. In fact, they just did a nice demonstration on how to handle it. And we have to remember that it is venomous. It's not poisonous, but it is venomous. So if you do hit the spines, then you can get hurt. But eating the flesh itself will not pose any problems. And it's really wonderful to work with and prepare. And very easy to cook. And just like any fresh fish, you want to just accent it and highlight it and do light, simple, healthy presentations and preparations. And what we did with ours, we just spiced it with some fun spice mix that we made, and then we roasted it in the oven.
Oh, wow. That's good. Well, Chef Justin, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tramel.
To learn more about the lionfish, visit myfwc.org. And to get in on some of the Fresh from Florida recipes from Chef Justin, visit freshfromflorida.com. That's it for this edition of The Rotunda. Remember to follow us at Rotunda Podcast. We're on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Also, check us out at rotundapodcast.com, where you can contribute to this program. We want to hear from you with your story ideas, and be sure to join us again right here next week for more stories about the people and issues shaping Florida politics. I'm Tramel Gomes.